The word of God given to us today is Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. Allow me to read the text. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen. First of all, may the grace of the Lord be with you. There is a cathedral called Saint Apollinare Nuovo in the city of Ravenna, located in northeast Italy. In this cathedral, there is a mosaic work depicting the offering of gifts by the wise men of the East of today's scripture. Although the names of the wise men are not stated in the Bible, their names are recorded in the mosaic work. Their names are Gaspar, Melchior, Baltasaro, and Bartasaro. These wise men offer Jesus gold, incense, and myrrh, and the story of their gifts have come down through the ages. The first wise man to come before Jesus was Gaspar, a scholar with a long beard and wrinkled forehead that seemed to be full of wisdom. He had been wearing an expensive velvet outer garment. When Gaspar arrived, the angel Gabriel was already there. At the entrance, Angel Gabriel said the following to Gaspar: "All men who enter here must come with a gift." Gaspar brought forward a heavy box wrapped in clean covering and answered, "I have brought pieces of pure gold." But Angel Gabriel said, "Your gift must be something precious, which shows the essence of your being." Gaspar kneeled before baby Jesus, stretched his hand, held pieces of gold, and said, "This gift is exactly that." But he realized that what he was holding in his hand was a hammer instead of gold. The grotesque-looking hammer's head was larger than a man's fist, and the handle of the hammer was as long as a man's forearm. Startled by this, Gaspar was unable to say a word. An angel Gabriel quietly said, "The thing in your hand is the hammer of greed. You used to store your wealth while living comfortably in a large estate as others lived in small huts." Embarrassed, Gaspar held his head low and began to turn around to leave. However, Angel Gabriel blocked his way and said, "No, you may not leave because you have not yet offered your gift." Gaspar, who was surprised by the suggestion, said in a loud voice, "Give him this to a king? No." Angel Gabriel then said, "Did you not come to offer your gift? You may not take back your gift. Please leave it here, otherwise it will cause your destruction." But Gaspar motioned with his hands and said, "Baby Jesus cannot even lift this." However, Gabriel responded, "Only he can do such a thing." The second wise man who arrived was a young scholar by the name of Melchior. He too was stopped at the door. Gabriel asked, "What have you brought with you?" Melchior answered, "I have brought incense from a great kingdom." Gabriel stated again, "The gift must be something that is the most precious for your soul." Melchior kneeled in reverence and took out the bottle he had brought with him. But what he found in his hands was not a bottle made of silver, but an ordinary rough clay bottle with many stained spots. He opened the bottle and took a smell, and at that moment, his face became contorted as he said, "How could this be? This is vinegar." Gabriel spoke, "You have brought something that speaks of you. Your grief, rage, and the anger filled in your heart have caused this to happen. Although you have pursued knowledge, your life is full of poison." Melchior became depressed and he tried to hide the bottle as he turned his head. But Angel Gabriel held Melchior's hand and said, "You must leave behind your gift." Melchior let out a deep sigh of pain and said, "This is indeed humiliating. What if the baby puts his mouth to it?" Gabriel responded, "You must leave that to heaven. And even vinegar has its use." The last wise man arrived. He was a man named Baltasaro, who served as a judge and also ruled over many cities and towns. He was carrying a box with a frame decorated in brass. Baltasaro stated, "I have brought myrrh. This is the most valuable of the spoils gained through courageous battles." But Gabriel inquired again, "But is this the essence of your being?" The brave warrior Baldassaro bowed to the ground, almost touching the ground with his head, and then put down the box he had been carrying. But what was inside the box was a sharp spear. Astounded by this, he said, "How could this happen? It must be a curse of my enemies." Gabriel responded, "It is true. The curse against you by the thousands and thousands of your enemies who perished has caused your soul to turn into a spear. The battles you fought resulted in more battles. You have lived the life of conquering, have not been conquered." No matter how much he thought about it, Baltasaro could not leave behind a spear, so he turned around to leave with the spear. But Gabriel said, "You must leave this behind." Baltasaro said, "Now look, this is dangerous to the child. The child may be harmed by the spear." But Gabriel responded by saying, "You must leave such fears to heaven." It is said that the gold, incense, and myrrh offered by the wise men of the East symbolize Jesus as the king, prophet, and priest. However, for this to occur, the Lord required a hammer, vinegar, and spear instead of gold, incense, and myrrh. Thus, from birth, his life had been foretold. The wise men of the East had not come directly to Jesus. Verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the East came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the East and have come to worship him." Bethlehem is located 8 kilometers south of Jerusalem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and the wise men of the East went to Jerusalem in search of the one who had been born King of the Jews. The Messiah was called the King of the Jews and also descendant of David. Because the wise man was anticipating the birth of a King of the Jews, they thought that Jesus would be born in a palace located in the capital city of Jerusalem. These men are known to have come from the East. East means east of Jerusalem, so it is presumed by some to refer to the region of Persia, Babylon, and Arabia. And some believe it refers to the region in which Greece, Asia Minor, and Egypt is located. Some even think it may refer to India. Wherever they may have come from, they had traveled hundreds or thousands of kilometers guided by a star. But with only 8 kilometers remaining, they lost track of the star. Their own thoughts and preconceived notions prevented them from being guided by heaven. In believing the word of God and in following the guidance of God, there are many Christians who consider their own thoughts and plans to be more important. And so these Christians use God's word and guidance only as a means to reinforce their own thoughts and plans. The reason why many believers are unable to become mature Christians is because they place God's word and will on top of their own thoughts and plan, which serve as the basis, instead of placing their thoughts and goals on the pillars of God's word and will. Upon hearing from the wise men of the East that they had come to worship the one who was born King of the Jews, the reaction of King Herod and his people is described in verse 3 as follows. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. King Herod was born in B.C. 73. His father was Antipater, an Idumean, who were descendants of Esau. Although he was not a legitimate Jew, he won many war battles and became the governor of Galilee at the age of 26, and at the age of 33 became the king of the Jews and remained king until he was 70 years old. Because he was not a Jew, he needed to pursue many policies to ensure his long survival as king of the Jews. That is why he built a temple in Jerusalem for the people to engage in worship. And when times were difficult, reduced taxes for the poor. Also, when the people suffered severe poverty, he went as far as selling his gold plates to buy grains from abroad. However, these were only a means to keep him in power. His thirst for power made him paranoid, and he suffered from a severe case of delusional mistrust. King Herod had 10 wives. A few days before his death, King Herod, suspicious of some wrongdoing, had his eldest son killed, and also subsequently killed his second wife and mother-in-law and his two other sons. And so Augustus, the emperor of Rome, is known to have said that it is safer to be Herod's pig than his son. Close to his death, King Herod went to his favorite city, Jericho, and issued the following order: arrest the most famous and outstanding people in Jerusalem and put them in prison, and upon my death, have them executed. In giving his reason for such an order, he said, because no one will mourn my death, I want the people of Jerusalem to shed their tears when I die. That is why when the wise men of the East came to King Herod and asked where the new king was born, he could not but feel nervous and cause a disturbance in Jerusalem. After his encounter with the wise men, King Herod gathered his advisors and asked them where the Christ would be born. They answered as follows, verses 5 and 6. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. In responding to King Herod's question, the chief priests and teachers of the law quoted Micah 5, verse 2, by answering that it is Bethlehem. At the time, the scriptures were not all in one Bible. Also, the scriptures were not divided into organized in, by chapters and verses. Thus, the fact that they were able to accurately answer King Herod's question shows how well-versed the chief priests and the teachers of law were in the scriptures. This also shows how eagerly they had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The priests were people who were always involved in worship and offering, and the teachers of the law were people who kept close to the scriptures. However, the priests did not know the Lord to whom they made offerings, and the teachers of the law also did not know the Lord who had given them the word they recorded almost every day. Thus, the Messiah they were waiting for was not the one recorded in the scriptures, but was someone else they had in mind. Verses 9 and 10 testifies as to what occurred after the wise men of the east left the palace. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Imagine the scene where the wise men from the east leaves King Herod's place, left King Herod's place. A few moments before, they had been inside King Herod's palace. All men of influence of Israel were inside its walls. Even the chief priests who held the greatest religious powers were also there. The best goods and merchandise in Israel could be found inside the palace. The clothes worn by the king and his subjects were beyond the reach of ordinary citizens. The food inside the palace would also have been the best in the land. However, it was a place absent of God's true light. Outside the palace, the wise men from the east could see the star. Of the countless stars above, this one star had guided them from thousands of kilometers away. The fact that they were able to see the star meant that it was pitch dark. In such darkness of the night, power does not exist or can be seen. Even the most precious items are buried by the darkness. Colorful and brilliant clothes also lose all their glitter in the dark. However, even in such darkness, we can go forward if we are guided by the light. Do you wish to be guided by the Lord and obey His will, but are not able to see that star? Could it be perhaps because you are trying to hold on to too much and enjoy too many things? Even though the world is full of darkness and we live surrounded by dark forces, we are able to always live within hope without despairing because of that one star which is shining above us. That is why the author of Psalms confesses as follows: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Verse 11 of today's text testifies as to what the wise men from the east did upon finally reaching Bethlehem. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. Upon entering the house, the wise men saw baby Jesus and Mother Mary together. Baby Jesus and Mary were most likely lying together, and Jesus and Joseph was probably standing next to them. But the wise men from the east did not say to Joseph, "You have finally become a father. Congratulations." They also would not have said to Mary, "How difficult it must have been to give birth. You did well to endure 10 months of pregnancy. Congratulations." No, all they did was to bow down and worship. There is no better scene that shows what faith is all about. Faith is to worship only Jesus. Worship, or proskuneo, means to bow low before the subject of worship, as the wise men from the east had done. Literally, it means a dog bows down to lick its master's hand. It is to admit that we are weak, sinful, and wretched beings. Verse 12 of today's text testifies as to how the wise men from the east returned to their home countries after bowing and worshiping baby Jesus. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The wise men returned to their country by another route. On its face, another route means a route other than the route they took in coming to Bethlehem. However, from a spiritual perspective, this means following the route commanded by the Lord instead of the route ordered by King Herod. Christians are people who walk a different path. It is the route made known to us by God and not the route suggested by the people of this world. It is not the route that follows worldly values, but a route that follows biblical values. Why are Korean churches criticized as failing as a church? It is because instead of bowing to baby Jesus, they bow to King Herod and the kings of this world. Our lives are no different. If we bow down to King Herod and desire to be close to him, we will be ruled by him. But if we bow down to baby Jesus and become close to him, we will be ruled and guided by Jesus. The reason why the coming of baby Jesus is the only hope for this land is because there cannot be true peace, true fulfillment, or true joy without Jesus. Recently, on December 10th, there was a poster prepared by a college student entitled, How Are You All? Since then, like the butterfly effect, How Are You All is spreading. As a member of the older generation, I feel guilty that we were unable to provide a more healthier, better environment. I also would like to ask a question. When was the time you felt well? How can you obtain true well-being? The term well, expressed in other words, means peace, harmony, and peace of mind. In Hebrew, it is shalom. Verse 4 of hymn 412, Wonderful Peace, tells us how we can have true peace. Ah, soul, are you here without comfort and rest, marching down the rough pathway of time? Make Jesus your friend. The shadows grow dark. Oh, accept of this peace so sublime. To provide us with true peace, Jesus came to this land in human form. When baby Jesus was born, a great company of angels praised God and sang as follows. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Only baby Jesus can provide us with true peace, contentment, and joy. And that is why we have to lower ourselves and worship baby Jesus on this Christmas day. The English word happiness came from the word happen. This means that something happened without any planning or effort. Therefore, to celebrate a birthday or a new year, people say, Happy birthday, Happy New Year. This is because a birthday or New Year arrives every year without any particular effort, as long as we are alive. But for those occurrences that require effort, such as gaining admission or graduating from a school or wedding anniversaries, we say congratulations. But in Christianity, we use the word bless much more often. The word bless comes from the word bleed. We can have eternal peace because Jesus shed blood on the cross by suffering from a spear and wine vinegar against a backdrop of the wise men's gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. So we should not forget that behind the seasonal greeting, Merry Christmas, there is a blessed Christmas made possible by the spilling of Jesus' blood. Blessed Christmas and Merry Christmas. Let us pray. Father God, from time to time we mistakenly think in our life of faith that we have offered you our gold, incense, and myrrh, when in truth we have given you our hammer, vinegar, and spear. We also sometimes believe that we would be able to have a nice Christmas merely by offering up our gold, incense, and myrrh. Thank you for reminding us through your word today why we must kneel before baby Jesus to worship him. Let us not commit the foolishness of putting our own thoughts and plans above God's will, and allow us to always check our bearing to determine whether we are heading toward King Herod's palace or towards baby Jesus. From time to time, when we find ourselves surrounded by total darkness so that we cannot see anything in the front or back, let us be Christians who are able to see the star that guides us from above. We pray that as time goes by, the country and society we live in will become healthier and a better place for us to live a meaningful life. Comfort the weak and disadvantaged who struggle for their livelihood, those suffering from disabilities, and our young adults, and allow them to experience peace and joy. Let us not forget, however, that true peace and joy can only be found within God. Allow us and all other Christians of this land to kneel before baby Jesus and experience true peace. And through us, let the seeds of God's peace and shalom be planted in this land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.